welcome to another episode of Your Life Beyond You podcast, where we are challenging you to intentionally invest into the lives of others. I'm your host, Terrence Campbell, and I am so thankful that you took the time to check out today's podcast. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platforms. What came to your mind when you read the title of today's episode, Ratchet Revelations? I find it compelling, though, how there are so many different ways to relate to God. I love the fact that God is so big that he can reach us where we are. Today, we have a very special guest who used her personal experiences during difficult moments in her life to write a devotional of how God met her where she was. Though she was ratchet, she was still righteous. Would you help me welcome to our podcast today, Melissa Knight?
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for being here. I am thrilled, very much so looking forward to our time together. And it's really cool because I remember you as a little girl. And now just to be able to have a front row seat at what God is doing in your life is so, so dope. And so I thank you so much for spending time with us today. So before we get started, Melissa, I would like to for you to share a little bit about your family.
Okay, so once again, hi everyone, my name is Melissa Knight. I'm actually the oldest of five kids, so I have three sisters and one brother. My dad, his name is George Knight, and my mom, Dawn Knight. They are both, my dad is a pastor. We have a ministry here in Houston called Livestock Christian Ministries. So very family oriented, super close to my family, very involved with our church ministry. So I grew up in church my whole life. not really an option for me. Grew up in church my whole life. Raised in the ministry. My dad was a youth pastor. We're originally from the Virgin Islands, St. Croix, Blues, Virgin Islands. And then we moved to Houston a few years ago. Well, a while ago. We moved to Houston. We started off at our first church, Mountaintop, and then after a few years, my dad opened up his own ministry. So I love my family. I love what we're doing. So yeah, that's just a little bit about us. Very unique, different personalities, but love them all. Sometimes.
Well, it's really cool because Pastor George Knight is one of my dearest friends and a confidant, mentor. He's been there for me for many times in my life where I had nowhere else to turn. And so I'm truly thankful for the ministry of LCM doing some really great things here in the city of Houston. Well, very cool. So, Melissa, tell us, what are you passionate about? And I asked that question, and I want to frame this question by saying that this podcast is devoted to people who are committed to living their lives beyond themselves. Melissa, I think that so many people spend the majority of their lives thinking just about themselves.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I believe I have a deep seated conviction that God created us for so much more and that we are designed to be used by him to share his love and grace with others. And so I just want to start off by saying thank you for being that kind of person. So tell us about your passions.
I don't know. I have so many different passions and so many things that interest me. Even when I was in college, it was hard for me to like pick a major because I liked everything. especially if you're like a liberal arts major, you know, you have so many different interests. But I think for me, my passions are for sure. I love currently I work at Howard University, so I oversee our career center. I'm associate director of experiential learning, and I'm very passionate about helping other people, especially students of color, Black students, get jobs and careers. I've been in that field for since I got out of college, it's for about 5 years, 5-6 years now. And I've seen God open up doors for me to just really help students get a seat at the table, Black students getting jobs in their dream companies. So that fuels me. So I do a lot of work helping students get internships, so like career development, teaching them how to write a resume, teaching them how to interview, teaching them how to present them best, their best selves when it comes to like personal branding. So those are things in a professional sense that I'm very passionate about in my work that I do day to day. And I'm so thankful that God has opened the door for me to do that at Howard. I originally was at Texas Southern for a few years. And that's when I really, it really opened my eyes to see, okay, there's, you know, there's a gap when it comes to hiring people of color, Black people. And I want to make sure that I'm helping any student that walks in my door. Like, I want to make sure that I'm giving them the game of how you actually get into these companies, what you need to do. So that's something that I really, really enjoy. And outside of that, I do, I have my devotional book, Ratchet Revelations. It actually was something that just an idea that just came out of I wouldn't say came out of nowhere. I had gotten out of a relationship, and I had a lot of time to kind of spend by myself and really just learn about me. I hate writing, actually, so I don't even know how I ended up writing a whole book. But I just started writing down, you know, I had, we were in church one day, and during praise and worship, the praise and worship leader talked about Psalms 37 and 4 and said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I was thinking like, wow, you know, and a lot had been going on in my life. And I was like, you know, things are happening because I'm not really putting my everything into God's hands. I was like, you know, I need to put every single component of my life into his hands, and whatever I am, you know, believing him for is going to happen. And I felt so empowered that day. And I just got on Instagram and I wrote a post about it. And from there, I wrote a post, I posted the scripture, and I kind of put my little spin on it. I'm like, you know, you got to chill, let God handle it. And I was like, hey, I should just start doing this. Like, when things come in my life, like, I'm just going to start finding a scripture that kind of is applicable, give my experience as to what I, you know, how did that scripture apply to what I was going on in my life. And then that's how Ratchet Revelations came about. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, it's something, it's a passion of mine. I think I just love helping people. I think if I were to just kind of sum it all up, I love helping people. So whether that be professionally, emotionally, spiritually, I just like to help. I got my master's in counseling, so I was supposed to be a therapist, didn't pass. I failed my exam by one point, but I just love to help. So I think I love that I'm passionate that I can help people in different areas, not just, you know, just in all components of life. Because, you know, we all deal with things differently. So I just, I'm very passionate about just helping others.
That is so awesome, Melissa, to hear your story about just taking the word of God and applying it to your life. I can't wait to dig into this book, Ratchet Revelations, because even the name is like, what is that? What
is a I was afraid. And I think even when people I was afraid to even put that out. I was like, how am I going to talk about ratchet in the church? So I was very skeptical. Even when I gave it to my dad, he like looked at me like, what is this? But I mean, I had it. That's the name God gave me. I'm like, it's going to be Ratchet Revelations.
Wow.
It's a fun way to relate. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, well, and I think that's one of the more telling things about our time together is just the fact that you are considered what they call a millennial.
Yes.
And as a millennial, y'all just do things differently. The language is differently. The language is different, rather. And it's just, it's amazing how even in that, God is still moving. He's still working. And so I think it's so cool. Before we get into your book, I want to hear a little bit more about what was it like being a pastor's kid? Because you say something at the beginning of your book that really the inspiration of the book. Well, I'll let you tell that part. But tell us a little bit about what was it like for you growing up as a preacher's kid, a PK, as some would say.
Yeah, I think my experience, I didn't have a bad experience as a preacher's kid. As you know, there's like the stereotypes that, you know, we have strict parents, and I did. My dad was very strict. I think it's just always, it's always just been a part of my life. But I think when I started to kind of grow into myself and kind of finding, you know, when I went to college, I started kind of just finding myself. That's when things got a little difficult, just because, you know, the expectations that are placed on us. There are certain things that people think that we can't do that their kids can do just because I'm a preacher's kid. So that got a little difficult. But mm-hmm. I just kind of started to, not to say I stopped caring, but I really did stop caring about what people thought of me, even when I was a preacher's kid. I stopped caring about what others thought and just wanted to live in my own truth. And I think I don't like to put up a show. Like, what you see is what you're going to get. I'm not going to fake what I do or how I live my life just because I am a pastor's daughter. I think it's very important to be authentic and be true to who you are. So I think mm-hmm. like that's kind of where I am now. Even as a preacher's kid now, I'm still very involved in the church. And I know a lot of kids whose parents are pastors, and they're not as nowhere as involved as I am in my church and in our ministry. So I think I took hold of my dad's vision, and I really try my best to help him push that forward. But sometimes it gets a little overwhelming, you know, just kind of having to do everything. Or, you know, there's so many, you know, mm-hmm. he leans to us for a lot. So sometimes that gets overwhelming at times. But, you know, I know there's a greater mission, and there's a greater mission and vision of what God wants us to do. So I've kind of taken mm-hmm. to that and trying to learn how to balance and accept it. But sometimes it can be hard, just especially now, like with me being in school. Mm-hmm. and working on my PhD work and then still having to do stuff with the ministry. I think right now it kind of feels a little overwhelming, but mm-hmm. I still love it. But I don't know. I think being a preacher's kid is how you perceive it, like how you want to live your life, because people will say things, but it's really up to you of how you want to live. And I think I've just found a way to do that I can still be true to myself and still have that respect for my dad, my family, and to God, more importantly.
So well said. And I think that something that you mentioned that was super key was the fact that you stopped caring about what people thought about you.
Yes.
It's so funny to me, because the way we are wired as humans is that we tend to think more about what people think about us than what God thinks about us. Mm-hmm. And without getting too preachy here, because I can get preachy. But the Bible teaches that when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. And so I think it's truly a valuable conviction that, man, my desire is to be pleasing to God first.
Yeah.
Even the scripture that you referenced earlier, that if we seek to be pleasing to the Lord, mm-hmm. then everything else is going to work out. So I think that is so, so awesome.
And I really just started to think about the people who were doing the critiquing. So it's kind of like, you know, I saw this thing on Instagram. It was like, you're taking critique from people with no credentials. I thought about that. I'm like, you know, credentials and like, how are you living your life? You know, it's always right. People that are trying to come for you or try to tell you what you should be doing. And then, you know, you look at their life and you look at how they're, and it's like, you know, you have to really be cognizant of that, because people take on others' opinions. And I really just started saying, like, okay, Melissa, how can you stay true to you? And I really looked at that, because I think that's important. You know, when people are judging you, you have to really look at where that critique is coming from or who it's coming from. Because I have a lot of mentors and people, if they say, hey, Melissa, mm-hmm. you know, this is not right, I take heed to that. But then there's some things, it's just like sometimes people just want to be critical or want to be mean. I think that's, you know, that's also a thing, too. There are some people who just want to say something. And I think letting that. That is when I think I felt liberated, because I'm like, okay, this is, I'm listening to this.
Amen. Yes, I love that. Yes, that is so funny. So you mentioned at the front of your book that the following 33 devotionals are based on things I encountered through transitional phases in my life.
Yeah.
I love that, that's the way, that's the space that you come, that you're coming from in your devotional, that, hey, here's some transitional things that I've learned, some things I've learned in transition. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about sharing it. And so one of the reasons that I love bringing authors onto the show is because, one, we get to promote a great book, but two, we get to promote this whole idea that people can learn and grow from your experiences.
Yes.
And it's been said that people learn either based from their mistakes, mm-hmm. or they can learn from mentors. Mm-hmm. And so books are a sense of mentoring, and it's a way to live your life outside of yourself. And so I'm really excited to talk through some of your devotionals and how you even came to that space. So before even, and I keep delaying it, but before we get into that, I want to ask you, Melissa, being a preacher's kid, being a person that's serving in ministry alongside your father, what do you think about the state of the church in 2021, particularly from the perspective of a millennial?
Yeah, I was actually just having this conversation with my dad, and I was telling him how, you know, I think the church, you know, with the pandemic, it kind of forced the church to think differently on how we mm-hmm. hold services. Because, you know, before the pandemic happened, a lot of millennials were already, or not millennials, a lot of people were going to church online anyway. And now, and, you know, there was critique behind that. Like, you know, the Bible says that we need to congregate, and, you know, we understand that. But it's like, at this point, we were forced. We couldn't. And I think the church mm-hmm. is more progressive. I think, you know, it's kind of forcing churches to be more innovative in their approach as to how we serve our community. I think... when the Bible says come as you are, I think it's, and I'm speaking to the perspective as to like millennials, of course. But it says come as you are, and we see more millennials just kind of coming to church as they are, like being free, being just really unapologetic and just coming as you are to like really receive what it is that God has for you. So I think the church needs to be more innovative on how they target, you know, these different audiences, whether that be through social media, through just through a virtual platform. I think that there needs to, because you can reach so much more. You can reach a wider audience when you find mm-hmm. those ways to capture their attentions through digital technology. So I think I feel like the church needs to kind of come up to speed with like technology, because I know a lot of churches who mm-hmm. when the pandemic happened, you know, they couldn't sustain it. Because we were so used to doing churches, to doing it in person. So it's like, okay, now that you can't do that, you need to think of ways to still to let it be sustainable. And I think that's where the church is headed. I think it doesn't, I don't think that before, and I don't know, Pastor T, maybe you can help me out with this one. But before, you know, they said, you know, we need to come to church every Sunday. And, you know, and I still go to church every Sunday. I never miss church, but it's like, we've mm-hmm. seen that people are still getting what they need from like watching a sermon on Sunday mornings and not really being in the church house. And that's not because, and that's really because they couldn't go to church. So I think churches need to reimagine what that looks like for them and not put too much critique on the people who choose not to go all the time. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what mm-hmm. I think, but I mean, I could be wrong, but I mean, there's just so much critique for people who do not go to church. But you know, mm-hmm. there's changes that have been made just because of the pandemic. So like what are we doing? What are churches doing to bridge that gap?
Right. Yeah. Well, obviously being a pastor, that's definitely one of my greatest concerns is how do I bridge the gap mm-hmm. and how do we innovate and how do we encourage community mm-hmm. when we are virtual, because that's one of the missing elements when you are virtual.
Yes.
Is how do we continue to create community and just the importance of community. Mm-hmm. So I think it is an ongoing thing that we have to figure out. And I believe that God is giving wisdom. And of course, with things opening up as they are, at some point people are coming back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so, but when they do come back, if they do come back, how do we continue to create a sense of desire for community? And so I think that's really one of the things, and you let me know from a millennial standpoint, is community considered important in this generation?
That's a really good question. I think community is important, but it's not in the way that the church is presenting it. You know, they're presenting community as you have to come to church a Sunday 10 a.m. worship service. That's right. Not community to us. Community to us could be, you know, meeting up at someone's, and that's still traditional, meeting at someone's home and doing a Bible study where it's not so, you know, you're in like this set, you know, there's a pulpit and you're sitting in the audience. You know, community is different right. to us. We want community, but not in the way that it's being presented. And I think that's where the church needs to find a way to still have community, but it's like, okay, Sunday morning worship, Wednesday night Bible study, Friday. Like, you know, that's not what community looks like to us anymore. So I think that's where the church needs to find ways to still make it community. And there's still things that you can do that is of God and that's still fun for millennials, but the churches have to figure out what that looks like for their, you know, for their congregation. So I don't think that, I think community is important, but it's about how in what ways are you facilitating community.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Well said, Melissa. I love that. And I think that really definitely gives some rails to run on as we in church, the church leadership thinks through that. And I think when we talk about community and how do we create it, a culture of community, is that we must start with how we define the church.
Yeah.
So often we have defined the church as a facility.
Yeah.
When in reality, the church is a group of people. Yes. It is what they call what's called the ecclesia, is those who are called out of the world and called and invited into an assembly, a group of people who are like-minded, who are traveling the same journey, taking the same journey, looking to arrive at the same destination where we can stand before God and he reward us for living the way he intends for us to live.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well said, Melissa. So talking about the word of God and how do we use it in our everyday lives and how you, from an experience of taking the word of God and putting it into your own terms to where you can understand it, tell me about Ratchet Revelations. I know that it is a 33-day devotional, but tell us a little bit more about the book.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, Ratchet Revelations for me was just the way to, like I said, I really try to find, and that's in everything that I do, I try to bridge the gap. So I wanted to really bridge the gap between millennials who you say they do have a relationship with God or some that may not. I wanted to bridge that gap of like, okay, this is like a foundational resource to get you started. If you do have a relationship with him, like myself, you can still grasp the information and the content. And if you don't have a relationship with him, it was still written in a form that you could understand it. And that I think that's the gap I really wanted to bridge, were the ones who did not know and they wanted to know. So I wanted to make it very relatable, very modern, to where, you know, anyone who read this book, even if you weren't Christian or religious or, you know, the terms that everyone uses, you would still find take something away from it. And maybe it may lead you to want to have that relationship with God and to kind of get a deeper understanding. So I don't proclaim myself to be like a subject matter expert on the Bible and knowing, you know, I'm still learning. It's a journey that I want everyone to take with me. And I talked about that at the beginning. It's really just all of the things that we're experiencing as millennials and the things that we're dealing with. We all have shared experiences. And I think I really wanted to find a way to talk about my experiences and what I did to overcome them. So that's really what Ratchet Revelations is about. Talking about that and using the biblical references. And of course, the ratchet part comes in is like the titles that I have in the book. And, you know, I don't write in a way that is hard to grasp or hard to understand. like I said, I understand like scholarly writing in this PhD program. So sometimes I don't even know what I'd be writing. But in Rapture Revelations, it was, it's very, it's to the point, I just really wanted people to understand my story and how God helped me get through that. So there's various topics that I talk about. And the transitional phase was just, we all go through different phases in life. And I wrote Rapture Revelations in 2017. And we're now in 2021. I wrote it in 2017, but it was released 2019. And we're in 2021. Mm-hmm. So like, even when I look back, I can look back at the book and say, wow, God has brought me through so much. Like, I remember writing about this. And now I feel like I'm in the season where I'm reaping what I have sowed. So,
right.
I love looking back at it and seeing like, okay, this is how I got through it. And when I write my next book, I can talk about like the blessings that I'm receiving because of, really trusting in God and talking about those experiences. So yeah, to sum it all up, it's just a way of, I talk about different topics, heartbreak, learning to be single, learning to be alone, learning to love yourself. So it's learning how to handle your finances. It's all of these different topics, but there's just like that biblical foundation of how I actually did it.
So good, Melissa. And even as I look through some of the days and the titles, you got to chill, fam. That's day three. And looking at day 10, chill, bro.
Yeah. And I say that to myself. I'm like, girl, you gotta chill. Cause I'm an overthinker and for me, it was therapeutic. Cause I was it was a therapeutic process for myself. Cause I was really able to, I find myself to be very self-aware. So I feel like it was a therapeutic process and it really allowed me to get deeper understanding for me. And I think that's what I really loved about writing it. Cause there's still things that I'm working through myself, but it just
certainly,
it was a therapeutic process for me of like really understanding how to get through these situations. And like I said, I don't proclaim to have all the answers in the first chapter. I said like, this is not me trying to tell people like, you need to live your life this way, but I'm like, hey, like we all have a shared experience and this is just what I did. And if you can identify and relate, like, try it out. Like, this is what I did and it worked for me. So I wanted to give that game to someone else. Like, and like I said, just comes back to my passions. I love helping people. So I just like, this is what helped me. I wanted to help somebody else. It may not, but it might. Most of the feedback I've got has been positive. And I just wanted it to really just be a foundation. It's kind of like that entry level, like for the beginner believers. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I really wanted. Like the people who are beginners and they just are trying to figure it out. That's what I really wanted to give them that resource.
Yes, ma'am. And the fact that you use the phrase bridge builder, I think is accurate because really when you think about how we share our faith, sometimes people can't quite connect with the Christian who have been a Christian for years because it's reported that the longer a person is a Christian, the fewer friends they have who aren't Christian.
Yeah. And I can definitely to a certain degree. I mean, I have a lot of friends and even now, like, people are talking about like the universe and energy and all that. So I think it's important for me to highlight like God and Jesus did this for me. Cause I want people to know like,
yes.
I think, people have their own beliefs and nothing against those, but I just want people to know for me, this is my, like, this is the foundation that I go off of. If the universe and energy works for you, that's fine. And I would never knock anyone else's beliefs, but I just think it's important for me to highlight when I am getting blessed and God is doing things in my life, he is the one who's going to get the credit for it. Cause that's what I think for me, why I wanted to highlight. And that's why I wanted to. And I think that's how I can draw more people to him. If they see my life and how I live and what he's doing for me, this is what I wanted Rapture Revelations to do for others.
Right. And really the essence that I can appreciate from the way you wrote it is how you are a bridge builder and how it's relevant and you're attracting people to the word of God by helping them to see the relevance of it. Because so often I think what causes people not to pursue a relationship with Jesus is that they just don't see any relevance behind it. They don't see the connection. Well, let me just go get it from someone else or somewhere else. And the reality is that Jesus most certainly is the answer to what people are looking for.
And
I really appreciate something you say in day 20. You say, "That ain't it, sis." That's the title of that is the title of this particular devotional. And you open with a question, and that is, are there people in your life who are no good for you? And I think that many of us can relate to that, that there are most certainly people in our lives that they just can't be there. And so I like the fact that you start off talking about the importance of discernment of the people who are around you. Mm-hmm. So what are some key lessons that you have learned about the company that you keep?
I think for me, because one thing I even learned about myself was just I have a big heart, one, and I felt like I just let people in so easily. Just because too trusting, too loving, too giving. And those are not bad qualities. Those are great qualities. But people will pick up on that and they will abuse it and they will take advantage. And I found myself getting hurt all the time. I'm like, well, why do I keep getting hurt? Like, why are people, you know, but I'm giving too much of myself to people and I'm not really discerning and understanding who I'm letting in. So I've been getting hurt numerous times by people, because you know, when you're a giver, I saw this quote that says, do not surround yourself with takers because they have no limit. So they'll keep taking and they'll keep taking and then you have nothing left. So I learned like, okay, Melissa, you're a giver. You can't have takers all around you. You need to have other giving people around. You need to have the people who have the same spirit, the same heart, the same desire. You need those type of people. Not saying that there are going to be some people who need that, you know, that need to, they need something from you. But I found that I just had too many takers and it was taking from me. So, and it left me feeling hurt and feeling like, you know, I'm doing all of this, but like I'm not receiving that same energy from the people around me. So I just started knowing those things about myself when I knew like, okay, Melissa, you know, you're loving, you're trusting, you're giving. You need to, at some point it's you. Like I really was like, I'm the problem because you keep letting people in knowing you're like this. So it's like, you know, you know, these traits about yourself. Don't change you, change the people around you. And that's what I did. I started changing and God really just started removing them. I said, God, please show me like who's supposed to be here and who's not. And in a heartbeat, it just started happening. People just started, you know, he really started removing people out of my life. People I was friends with for years and years, long lasting friendships. But he knew like these are not the right people. So I think it's important. With discernment is to first understand yourself. If you have a better understanding for yourself, then you can understand who is supposed to be around you and who is not. And I think that's what I talk about in Ratchet Relations so much of learning to be by yourself. People don't give themselves that time to truly understand who they are. Because if you did, you would know who is to allow in and who to not. So I think that's what I think when discernment comes in is first discerning and understanding you. And then you can pray to God to give you wisdom as to who is supposed to be around you and who is to not.
Yes, so well said, Melissa. And I think it takes courage to be willing to stare in the mirror and look at that person in the mirror and say, you are the problem. Wow. And I think it was really wise of you to say, to really even begin the journey of recognizing the value of self-awareness.
And just
coming to terms with the fact that, man, I'm going to own this.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about owning your past and owning the state that you're in is now I can do something about it.
Yes. Yes.
I can go to my Heavenly Father and I know He has the answers and I could go and ask Him to rescue me, save me. And so just the fact that you are putting that work in of just constantly knowing, coming to terms of knowing yourself, I think is so awesome.
Yeah. And that's what I think, with self-awareness. And I think that's something that's extremely important with self-awareness is just, I feel like if people took the time to really understand themselves, then we would really eliminate a lot of the issues that we have with people or with ourselves or with others. You just really have to take that time to like sit back and reflect on like your decisions or experiences. And because sometimes we are the, like you yourself, you're the problem and we keep playing the victim, you know, but in reality, sometimes we are the problem and we have to take accountability and do something about it. And I think I'm hard on myself. So I'm always like finding ways to better myself. But I said like, hey, you're the problem. Like, yeah, people are taking advantage of you, but you're letting them because you're doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, I'm so loving and giving. Well, stop doing that with everyone. No one's saying not to do it, but don't do it for everyone. And that's when I kind of got like, it was like an enlightenment for me. and it really helped me and it changed me. It really helped so much. And I just saw God really start putting the right people who are supposed to be like in my inner circle and the ones who are not, I just get them out.
I love that. And I can relate to this whole idea of being too trusting, maybe too loving. And to your point, it's not bad. It's just I have to be discerning. Yes. And I can't be an open book in front of everyone, that I have to be intentional about it. And that is such an important lesson to learn. So is there a day that really stands out for you in the book? Is it like, man, day blank is the day, like this one is, if I can use y'all's language, this one is lit, right?
I'm trying to think. Shoot Your Shot, Fam. The one about, and I wrote that in regards to Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace. That actually was one of my favorite days. It's really just stepping out on faith. Because I think even when I wrote Ratch Revelations, I was very afraid to do it. And I was afraid to put it out there, one, because of the name and because I was like, how is this going to be perceived by the church? And I was like, you know, you have to step out on faith to pursue your purpose, to pursue your passions. And I think for me, I loved Kobe Bryant. I loved his mentality. And I talked about like Mamba mentality and like kind of not letting anyone to stop you. And so just really pushing forward. You know, he didn't allow anyone to stop him. He was we all know Kobe was great on the court, but I really like Shoot Your Shot because I think sometimes people are just so afraid to step out. Yeah. So, and also my other favorite day is Boy Bye Day 5. And it really just, for me, it talks about, it really, and that goes on to, back to what I was talking about with discernment earlier about just getting rid of people who serve no purpose. Like I think for so, we hold on to relationships and friendships and it's just like, surround yourself with people who are going to push you towards purpose. I think that's, and that's, and you know, my favorite song, and I was inspired by Lemonade, Beyonce's album. She had a song called Sorry. And she said, boy, bye. I said, yes, Beyonce. Like, that's how I feel. Like, bye. And I really appreciated that song just because it just really allows us to think about letting go of people who serve us no purpose and be unapologetic about that. I think we, you know, depending on who these individuals are, it's hard to let people go. But I think it's that for me, that was important. That's what allowed me to write the book because I let go of relationships and I got out of a relationship. And that's essentially, you know, I was able to be what God needed me to be because I let that go. So I think it's important.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing and being transparent in that, Melissa, because there are a lot of people that may be right now holding on to a relationship that's hindering their purpose.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. It reminds me of the song. What was it? Yesterday by Boys to Men.
Yeah.
I think what is it? It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. So anyway, now put them little tunes out there real quick.
You know, but sometimes, I'm doing like that. Not today.
Yeah, I mean, it can be hard to say goodbye, but it's amazing how when we give up, that thing that's holding us back, how it causes us to accelerate. And so I just want to salute you in that and really being courageous and being an example to so many people. And obviously, like you say, you're not perfect. You're not trying to tell people what to do. But hey, oh, I am sharing with people, this is what I'm doing, and it's working for me.
Exactly. And that's what I highlighted, like, even in the first chapter, Ratchet But Righteous, I talked about, like, you know, I still have a good time and I live my life. And I wanted to be transparent about that, because the minute people, I'll be all honest about this too. I had, when I first released the book, I had people were booking me for speaking engagements and all of these different things. So it was great. I had a platform to share. And I think I went on a vacation to Miami with my friends. And, you know, I went on a vacation and, you know, the pastor or whoever for that particular church, they had an issue, you know, with my vacation or whatever. And I didn't post anything, but, they saw that I was out having a good time with my life or whatever. And they're like, well, you know, this is not what we want to share or whatever the case may be. But I wrote in the first chapter, I'm like, hey, this is where I'm at in my life. And I think it was important for me to share that, because I didn't want to have a misconception. I wanted to be authentic and transparent as to where I was, because some people may be there too. So I think, you know, for me, it was important to be transparent and, like, really live my truth, because I didn't want to be what I was afraid of with Ratchet Revelations, that people would put me on a pedestal or put me on somewhere that I was not at that time.
Right.
I was still broken. I was still figuring it out. So I wrote about that because I wanted people to know, like, hey, this is where I'm at. It's working for me. And this is what's working for me, but this is still where I'm at. And sometimes people, you know, they have these expectations of you that, you know, that's just not where I was. And I wanted to really highlight that because, you know, I saw how it, you know, that all came around with the preacher's kid. Like, some things people just put a lot of expectations on you that you didn't really ask for.
Right.
I didn't tell you to do. I told you. You must have not read the book. It was the first chapter. So, I mean, I wanted to highlight that to let people know, like, hey, I still have a good time. I go out with my friends. I know, you know, I like to have fun, and and that's not saying I'm out here being crazy. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying this is where I am in my life. And I wanted to be transparent about that. So people think that just because you're a Christian, you can't have fun.
Right. And you know what? I appreciate the transparency. One of our values as a faith community is this idea of brave transparency, that it does take bravery and courage to be honest with where we are. I have this saying that goes, it's okay to acknowledge where you are. That's key, that if I don't be honest with where I am and I am seeking instruction or direction to where I'm trying to go, then if I don't give an accurate depiction of where I am, then my instructions or direction, they're going to be off.
They're going to be wrong.
They're going to be wrong. If Melissa calls and says, hey, Pastor T, I need help finding the Galleria. And my first question is going to be, where are you?
Yes.
And if you are unclear or you are fearful about being honest with where you are, then I can't give you directions to get you there. And so I truly appreciate, yes, your transparency in that, because if we're honest, all of us are on a journey. None of us can say that we have arrived or that we got it all together. And so we are on a journey. And so I really appreciate you sharing your heart, Melissa. And so this has been so good for us. I have two more questions for you.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to let you go. So my second to last question is, what advice would you give to millennials who desire to get closer to Christ, or not just even millennials, but anyone listening to this podcast who may say, you know what, I want to get into a deeper relationship with Jesus, and I just simply don't know where to start.
Yeah, I think a great way to start, I'm pretty, I like action items. Like, what can you actually do? So like for me, when I just starting off, I have a morning routine. So like I'm very efficient. So I try to do a lot of things in a short amount of time. So, you know, sometimes you may not have a, especially if you have long days. So I'll wake up in the morning for 30 minutes, I'll do my workout. I'll listen to either a book or a podcast or something. Sometimes right now it's been a book, not really a religious book, but if you have like a podcast or a pastor that you like listening to, I find someone that I can relate to and I listen to that. I play gospel music in the morning for 30 minutes before just to start my day and kind of, I just like to have a good start to my day. So I would say anyone who's wanting to have a relationship with him, you just got to start. And sometimes people don't know where to start. So either I make a playlist or something to kind of just get the spirit flowing or get that energy going in my house. So I think it's important to, if you want a relationship with him, it's a two-way street. So you have to put in the effort, just like a relationship with people or relationships with regular relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, marriages, you have to put in the effort. So like really making time for God, I think is important. Just spending time with him, praying. If you don't know what to pray about, it's just talk. I think some people think it's like some perfect way to do it, but it's not. You just have to start. And I think for me, God has just opened way too many doors for me. And I make it an effort to really put forth the efforts for that relationship with him, because he's just opened so many doors. And I just want to encourage people, when you walk with him and you trust in him, you'll see the benefits. And I think another thing is people need to know that walking with God, you got to take the good and the bad. There was a lot of bad when Ratchet Revelations was going on. It was straight bad. For me, there were a lot of bad things going on and I couldn't understand it. And now, fast forward 2 years later, as we talk about it, I just see all of the blessings that God is giving to me. So I think people need to know it's not always just rainbows and butterflies. Like there's going to be some bad and rainy days, and you have to, Paul talks about in the Bible, he's content regardless of whatever situation that he is in. And I think that's important, that we need to make sure that no matter what happens, we still have to walk with God and trust in him, because everything is not always going to be perfect. But I know like, okay, God, you have a greater plan for me. Help me to accept what is happening. Help me to move forward, because it's not always going to be good. And I think that's where we lose the mark a lot of times with believers, is they don't want to take the bad. They think it's all good. But that's how you build your faith, is when the bad things happen, you can see like, okay, this is why God had me go through this. And now look at where I am now. So just when you walk with God, just walk, you have to take the good and the bad. And I think if people can grasp that, then they can have a better journey with him, because there's always going to be tests. There's always going to be trials. And that's why he's there, to help you overcome them. But you have to be able to take the good and the bad.
So well said, Melissa. And I concur. Beautifully said. Thank you so much for sharing that. And the last question that I have for you is, we've talked at length about this amazing devotional. How do people get their hands on it?
Yes. So Ratchet Revelations is available on all platforms, but on my like, of course, you can go to my website, ratchetrevelations.com. And I sign the books and send it out to you guys, so you can get it there. And then it's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. So you can get it all online. Really most bookstores, you can get it online as well. But of course, Amazon, if you love Amazon, you can get it there. One of my friends, he actually has a business for, it's like the Black Amazon. It's called Melanoid Exchange. So it's also available on that platform as well, if you want an alternative to Amazon. So yeah, but the best way, of course, ratchetrevelations.com, and you can get it there.
Wonderful. So awesome to have you, Melissa. So thankful for your wealth of wisdom and your transparency and just your passion to be a bridge and to help people. Is so refreshing, and so thankful for you. And I just declare continued success as you are finishing up your doctoral program. And so soon we're going to be able to refer to you as Dr. Melissa Knight.
Yes, I'm afraid. Just let me get to this program.
Yes, you got it, sister. You got it. Well, thank you again so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, for having me.
Wow, wasn't today's podcast simply awesome? I want to give a special thanks to the friends and partners of Growing Faith. You helped to make this possible. Now remember, our prayer is that our lives would be so filled that it spills over into the lives of others. You have been listening to Your Life Beyond You.